Great Expectations by Charles Dickens. Chapter 29. She was in her chair near the old table, in the old dress, with her two hands crossed on her stick, her chin resting on them, and her eyes on the fire. Sitting near her, with the white shoe that had never been worn in her hand, and her head bent as she looked at it, was an elegant lady whom I'd never seen.
"Come in, Pip,"
Miss Havisham continued to mutter, without looking round or up.
"Come in, Pip. How do you do, Pip? So you kiss my hand as if I were a queen, eh? Well."
She looked at me suddenly, only moving her eyes, and repeated in a grimly playful manner, "Well?" "I heard, Miss Havisham," said I, rather at a loss, "that you were so kind as to wish me to come see you, and I came directly."
"Well?"
The lady whom I'd never seen before lifted up her eyes and looked archly at me, and then I saw that the eyes were Estella's eyes. But she was so much changed, was so much more beautiful, so much more womanly. In all things, winning admiration had made such wonderful advance that I seemed to have made none. I fancied, as I looked at her, that I slipped hopelessly back into the coarse and common boy again. Oh, the sense of distance and disparity that came upon me, and the inaccessibility that came about her. She gave me her hand. I stammered something about the pleasure I felt in seeing her again, and about my having looked forward to it for a long, long time.
"Do you find her much changed, Pip?"
asked Miss Havisham, with her greedy look, and striking her stick upon a chair that stood between us as a sign to me to sit down there. "When I came in, Miss Havisham, I thought there was nothing of Estella in the face or figure, but now it all settles down so curiously into the old..."
"What? You're not going to say into the old Estella?"
Miss Havisham interrupted.
"She was proud and insulting, and you wanted to go away from her. Don't you remember?"
I said confusedly that that was long ago, and that I knew no better then, and the like. Estella smiled with perfect composure, and said she had no doubt of my having been quite right, and of her having been very disagreeable.
"Is he changed?" Miss Havisham asked her.
"Very much," said Estella, looking at me.
"Less coarse and common,"
said Miss Havisham, playing with Estella's hair. Estella laughed and looked at the shoe in her hand, and laughed again, and looked at me and put the shoe down. She treated me as a boy still, but she lured me on. We sat in the dreamy room among the old strange influences which had so wrought upon me, and I learnt that she had but just come home from France and that she was going to London. Proud and wilful as of old, she had brought those qualities into such subjection to her beauty that it was impossible and out of nature, or I thought so, to separate them from her beauty. Truly, it was impossible to dissociate her presence from all those wretched hankerings after money and gentility that had disturbed my boyhood, from all those ill-regulated aspirations that had first made me ashamed of home and Joe, from all those visions that had raised her face in the glowing fire, struck it out of the iron on the anvil, extracted it from the darkness of night to look in at the wooden window of the forge and flit away. In a word, it was impossible for me to separate her, in the past or in the present, from the innermost life of my life. It was settled that I should stay there all the rest of the day and return to the hotel at night and to London tomorrow. When we had conversed for a while, Miss Havisham sent us two out to walk in the neglected garden. On our coming in by and by, she said, I should wheel her about a little as in times of yore. So Estella and I went out into the garden by the gate through which I had strayed to my encounter with the pale young gentleman, now Herbert. I, trembling in spirit and worshipping the very hem of her dress, she quite composed, and most decidedly not worshipping the hem of mine. As we drew near to the place of encounter, she stopped and said, I must have been a singular little creature to hide and see that fight that day. But I did, and I enjoyed it very much. You rewarded me very much.
Did I?
She replied, in an incidental and forgetful way.
I remember I entertained a great objection to your adversary, because I took it ill that he should be brought here to pester me with his company.
He and I are great friends now.